This is CarCast episode 2.
Yeah.
But Beards and Brews episode 4. Episode 4. Yeah. So we had Anton on the episode today. The little carpool session. We got a little crazy with our topics. They're all over the place. It was really fun, man. So
I loved it. It was really cool.
Take a listen. Enjoy.
And maybe this podcast will be available in 2120. The year 2120.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 4 of Beards and Brews. My name is Luis, a.k.a. Uncle Lou, and we've got to my left here...
It's your boy from the north.
Yeah, I was telling Ryan the other day when we rode home, he was telling me so much cool stuff about when you're growing up. You were telling me like the Matchbox car.
Yeah, I was actually telling Ryan that I was telling you about that. So, you know, growing up back in Guyana, like, just, we didn't have toys. I wouldn't say we were poor. There's just another word I could probably choose for, you know, lack of words. I'll say, you know, we didn't have things like that. Mm-hmm. There wasn't stores. You know, and the toys that we had, we made them all. So as a kid, like, I could literally show you how to make a car or like a little pickup truck out of a matchbox that you could pull around or as a little kid push around. And I would make them for like all the kids in the neighborhood. And then as I got older, I moved on to like tractor parts and gears and making like, you know, scooters and like little go-karts, like literally that you could push or a friend could pull. And we would have like the best time in the world. But all of it was, you know, from my tools from my grandfather's stuff that he had and... You know, nails and just put stuff together.
Hold up. I need you to slow down and explain how the hell you create a car or a truck out of a matchbox.
Yes.
I'm still mind blown right now.
No worries. So basically, you get two matchboxes, and my grandmother would always kill me for this because I'd empty out the matches in the drawer. And basically, you would take the empty matchbox. Exactly.
There's
no lighters. There's definitely no lighters. So. You know, we use matches to light the stoves and things like that. There's no, like, gas and electric stove or anything like that. Yeah. So, either way, you take these two matchboxes, the outer part of the matchbox, or you take out the inner part that holds the matches.
Yeah.
And you'd have two of these hollow outside sections. One of them, you have to cut down the left and right side. I'd say 3/4 of the way down the box on both sides.
Yeah.
And you would fold that up kind of, like, into an angle and make your windshield out of it. And you would essentially slide the second one into the one that's cut towards the back. And to make the pickup truck, you would glue.
Yeah. Trying to visualize that.
Yeah. And you would take the empty part and you would glue it to the back portion. And then you would bend over that part that you cut up. And it would be like your windshield section. Now, the windshield section wouldn't be like open like an actual glass windshield. And I got at one point where I would cut out like another section with like a razor blade to make an opening, but in the beginning it was just like a flat piece of cardboard folded up and then folded back down technically into the bed. So you'd have like this, you know, single cab pickup truck per se. And we'd put rocks in the back. So getting back to the wheels though, because so it could roll, at the very bottom
edge. This matchbox car rolled?
Yeah.
So at the very bottom of this matchbox car, you would actually, you know, bore a hole at the very bottom edge of it to where it would like go through the inside. And from a coconut tree, if you shave the little branch off that's like hanging, you get this little fine stick, and we call it a pointer. It's like we make brooms out of it, and it was called a pointer broom. Either way, this little stick, you would take that and you would bore it through the box edge to edge, leaving a little bit hanging over on each side, and then you would literally take a nail and you would tap a hole through a bottle cap. All of our bottles were glass, so they always had the little metal cap or whatever. Yeah. You'd tap a little hole in the dead center of it, not too big, so that it could like stick onto the outer sides, and you'd get 4 of them, and those would be your wheels. And it would roll, and I would make cars, so I would have 2 folded up sections that would have essentially a roof and a back windshield and a front windshield, or I would have a pickup truck, one which had a bed that you could put rocks in. And you know, matchboxes come in all different sizes, right? Mm-hmm. So I would make small ones and I would make big ones, and I would like give them to all the kids in the neighborhood, and they would pull them around. We'd pull them around together, and we'd, you know, call ourselves fetching little rocks from one place to the next, and we'd build little forts and man, we'd have the best time in the world. It was the coolest thing ever.
Anton, like, your story, like, it inspires me so much. Like, to think that you made all this happen with no technology, with just the materials that were around you, it just leaves, you know, like, it gets you thinking, like, how spoiled are we today?
Mm-hmm.
With the technology
yeah.
that we're surrounded by, with the materials that we have within an arm's reach. You go to a dollar store,
right.
you can pick up everything you described and even
yeah.
more.
Yeah, we could literally stop at the dollar store right now and make a Matchbox yeah. car. Super easy for, like, next to nothing. That's now, granted, I did it with the leftover, yeah. and I would probably have to say there were beer caps. So below my house in South America, my grandparents had a restaurant slash bar.
Ooh.
And, you know, there was like an outside singing area and an inside area, you know, and the gentlemen, they would sit there and smoke their cigars and throw their bottle caps off to the side. So as a kid, I had like an abundance of these bottle caps. There was no,
you would be
there was no
you would
looking
rapping,
for them.
You would be rapping and performing as Ace Smooth. And then collecting the bottle caps.
Right.
Is yeah. that why there were so many matchboxes? Because of the restaurant bar thing?
Well, yeah, we I'm sure we sold them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had... You know, my grandfather had rice fields, sugarcane fields, so we sold rice. We sold what we would call provisions, but that would be essentially like cassava, plantains, which, you know, you probably know as platanos.
Yeah, just like the basic
right.
stuff.
Right, yeah. Cassava, you know, all of the different stuff that grew in the ground. We sold vegetables, we sold fruits. There was all kinds of fruit trees in the yard, fruits you guys probably have never even seen or heard of.
Shoot some our way. Come on, let's see.
Five finger. And holy. I think some people call it star fruit. It started imported like a couple of years back.
Yeah.
You know, but I grew up knowing those things to grow in my yard. There was like no need to go to the store for half of the things that's, you know, like it'd probably be an expensive fruit to buy here. Star mangoes fruit, yeah. of all different yeah. flavors and sizes.
What's a mango?
And guineps. And I believe in Spanish it's called guinepas.
Hmm.
If you've ever heard of it.
No,
but it's essentially, it grows in a bunch like grapes.
Spanish food.
It's green.
I know a little Spanish.
It's green. Know. It's the outside shell is a shell, though. You can't eat that. So essentially, it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's hard. It's almost like a dried orange
soft.
Peel. if you can imagine what a dry orange peel look like.
Yeah.
It's hard like that on the outside, but you can bite into it. And when it cracks open, it's just a thin shell. Inside is pink. And then it has a white seed, and you essentially just eat off the pink, and then you spit out the seed. And our parents used to, like, tell us we couldn't eat it because we could almost swallow those seeds sometimes. And as kids, I'm pretty sure me and my cousin probably swallowed one or two.
Oh, my God.
And they probably had to, like, get it out or if it affected us in any way.
So did you guys ever think that when you ate seeds, they might grow inside
of
you?
I know, I was just thinking that right now.
Oh, yeah, we thought about it. We thought it. We absolutely thought about it.
My mom would tell me that, like, if you eat a watermelon seed, it's going to grow in your belly. So, like, for the longest time, I didn't eat watermelons just because of that.
Is that why people have big-ass stomachs?
They're like, oh, there's a watermelon in there. Yeah. When a woman got pregnant, I was like, oh, you ate a watermelon.
You're a watermelon baby.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a whole other thing. You don't want to say that on
No,
public.
No, Jesus Christ.
Oh,
man. Oh, man. Yeah, see, I, like, the whole thing with the restaurant and everything
mm-hmm.
and the business, that was probably crazy. I'm sure people, like, are always getting rowdy and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As kids, we weren't allowed to, like, be around. We, you know, the house was above. And as kids, my grandmother kept us in the house. But you have to remember, like, I'm telling you these stories of these things I did as a kid.
Uh-huh.
90% of it was done through the fence with my neighbors or the kids next door.
Uh-huh.
As kids, we were, like, not allowed to leave the yard. You know, we went to school. We got walked to school, got picked up from school, and from school we went to after school.
Wow.
Like, school was incredibly important. I went to, I don't know how many different schools I could tell you. Like, it was all about education.
Preschool.
Yeah.
In school, after school, post school.
Tutor, like when we came out, it was like all about going and getting advanced and going to like this person in the neighborhood, like around the way that would like teach you more than what the school didn't teach you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this was like
conspiracy
South
theories.
America.
Yeah. Illuminati.
You know, I was born, what, 77? So we're talking like teachers could whip your butt.
Yeah.
Your neighbor could whip your butt.
They could whip your ass.
All the way down the way. Don't let somebody see you misbehaving on the road on the way home.
It's, anybody can whip
it's trouble.
Well, the reason I talked about this in the last episode,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
how, you know, my parents were beat. You know, the ruler, they were back in Fiji. Luis shared the same thing, right?
Yeah, my dad,
absolutely.
He didn't know English, so the teacher would beat them, like, to, you know, because they weren't paying attention, you know,
right.
quote unquote. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, and we say beat, and it's so different nowadays. There's, like, abuse, and then there's, you know, and I don't know the word you're looking for, getting lashes, and stuff, but disciplinary. It was very disciplinary. No one really ran around just like spanking you or beating you with their hands. You know, but I will tell you, it's like as a kid growing up, you didn't have to want to go pick your own switch in the yard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you'd come back with a small one and then they would go and they'd come back with a big one. Yep. You know, and it was like you didn't know what to do.
I was,
but as you grew up, you found out that the little ones were worse than the big ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I was definitely spanked as a kid. I was a naughty one, not gonna lie. Every time I swore, I do random things. So my parents had to get creative because hitting me didn't do anything after a while.
Right, it's like a brick wall. Right.
Yeah, I was in prison. Give a fuck, yeah.
It's like in the shower in the prison. Like
whoa,
no expression on the face, just taking it.
Whoa, no shower scene.
Hey man, I don't know how it is in Canada. I don't know.
No. Oh, no, but man. It would be like we would have to get creative. So like spoons were involved. Spoons were in work. Belts were involved.
Just like in prison, the spoons were involved.
Oh my god, Louise. But then my parents had to get creative, so then my dad locked me in the tool shed. And that was a scary experience. So I was like, oh shit. Like, I would cry, I'd bang at the door.
Wait, was it hot in there?
No. You know, being in Canada, not too hot. It was probably cold more than anything.
Because that'd be abuse in California, especially in the summer.
Oh,
it'd be like 150, 200 degrees.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be like you threw me in there and forgot about me. It'd be like 10 minutes and it'd be like, all right.
You have to stay there the whole time.
Did you learn your lesson?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I wouldn't do that again.
It's like, nope.
Sucker.
I wonder how many kids actually think that. Like, if they get out of something, nowadays, you know, to be talking the way out of stuff. You know, these kids are lawyers these days.
Oh, dude, I am with you. My nieces and nephews and some of the younger cousins I have, they've got some mounts on them, bro. I'm telling you.
They're incredibly filled with information. Something we did not have as a kid. You were privileged.
No way.
I mean, I remember my cousin, Trevor, teaching us a secret coded language our parents used to speak just so we didn't know what was going on and they could speak in a room while we were around.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it was just called gibberish.
But then
and,
like, you learned it.
I remember you telling me about it.
I was telling you guys about it.
Can he still speak it?
Of course.
Say something.
I just said I'm on a podcast with Brian and Luis.
Oh.
And so it's essentially a beast syllable I'm throwing in between all my words. So I could teach you guys, and we could literally speak this around people, and they won't catch on unless we tell them. So I is a bi. And the syllable will kind of change.
Well, I don't know. Do we want to tell them now on the podcast?
Edit this part out.
You might not want to tell them now.
You can teach us this, like, outside.
Yeah, I'll teach you guys later. Absolutely. But, yeah, they taught it to me, man, and, like, they never knew. They'd be talking, and we would be able to understand. And, you know, after a while, we started getting information that we wouldn't normally get, and we would know things. And it was never really, like, bad things, right? They would be talking maybe about something simple, like your parents maybe talking about some other relatives that, you know, are doing something bad, or they don't get along.
Gossip,
like family gossip, exactly. You know, they didn't want us knowing those kind of things to pick up essentially maybe those bad habits or whatever. And, you know, eventually we started being able to understand. It was just like the coolest thing, because after we grew up and became kids, like, we would be able to have a similar conversation in school and no one else would know what we were talking about. So
that is so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. Every once in a blue moon, I run into someone that can speak it, and it's so cool.
Oh, man, like my parents, though. My parents would use Spanish that way, because
we
didn't speak Spanish, so when they wanted to talk about us or talk about, like, adult stuff like around us, they spoke in Spanish.
But
what happened is we started learning how to understand it. I couldn't speak it, still can't speak it,
but
I could understand it to know what they're talking about.
Got it.
Yeah, so similar.
Yeah, in our household, there was a third language involved, because I grew up around English and Hindi, both, you know, speaking it and understanding it. So then my parents and my grandparents, they would speak in the native language of Fiji. They would speak Fijian.
Okay.
And so, you know, things like bula, you know, as in hello, and then I that's all I know. All I know is hello. And then, you know, I know things like, chikolo, which means shut up, you know, chikolo, you know, things like that. But yeah, they would speak in Fijian, and then we would.
Yeah, I wouldn't understand.
No idea what they were saying. So.
Oh, man.
But Luis, you know, to your point, on the last podcast, like, I want to mention, like, we talked about how some of these places in movies, for example, in like Black Panther and Wakanda, and like in the last movie we watched in, what was the last movie we watched? In Aquaman.
Yeah.
How in Atlantis, there was so much advancement in technology, right? When Anton tells me these stories, like, what comes to my mind is that some of these technological advancements were created because, like, they weren't spoiled with all these other technology pieces around them. Like, they really had to create something from scratch, and that's what created these amazing, smart, gifted people. You know, like, what's your take on that? What do you think?
I think it's a matter of being resourceful and using what you have, right? Mm-hmm. So Anton used what he had, like matchboxes, and he got creative. I think, and not to say it's a bad thing, because there's other things that the kids can do now, like you guys were saying. Like, the kids are very smart. They know how to come back at stuff at their parents, but they may not have necessarily that intuition to use their imagination and create something out of nothing, because they're so used to being able to, like when I was a kid, as an example, with my toys, my Ninja Turtles, I would get cardboard and I would make, with a Sharpie, I would make my own like play set, basically. I would make like little houses, and I'd make a sewer system and use a Sharpie to draw the details. Nowadays, kids are like, well, I could just go online and find a design that's printed out.
Yeah.
You know, so they're still they're being resourceful, but in a different way.
But they don't have to create it.
They don't have to create it.
There's a different resource there already for them to do so.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you guys are both saying that there's a lack of, you know, creation there. Do you think that's going to be like a downfall on creativity on the kids of tomorrow? Or like, what do you guys think?
Not necessarily. If you looked at it as far as them wanting to create for today, I would say yes.
Yeah.
But the generation of today are going to be creating for the future. So they're going to be starting with the basics of what we have now, an iPad that you have to touch, a phone that you still touch. And what they're going to create from that are things you don't have to touch ever, you know, and they just appear, or, you know, they're implanted, whatever that might look like for the future. This is going to be their matchboxes and their, you know, bottle caps and so forth.
That's actually true, because my nephew, he has it's a Thomas the Train, but it's a game on the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
It's AR, it's augmented reality. He sets it up, and so he can actually set up this little train thing, and he's playing with a 3D augmented reality set on the table in the house that's not really there. So, like, that would have blown my mind. I don't know if I've been able to process that as a kid.
I don't think so. I know I would have struggled with it.
Yeah, like, well, I don't understand what's happening here. And for him, it's like, that's every day. He's, like, used to it. So,
absolutely.
Like, your comment, like, about how the kids navigate, like, with the iPad, and it's a completely different experience than what we had. It reminds me of Back to the Future 2. So, Marty McFly, he goes into the future. And the funny thing is, the future is 2015. It's 2015 in that movie. So, we're already past the future.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Back to the future.
We don't have flying cars.
Yeah. And,
not yet. Do, I'm working on it.
They're working on it. Anton's working on it.
Yeah, Anton's working on it.
But one of the things is he goes to this 80s cafe. He goes to the 80s cafe, and basically everything looks like 1985, which is like when the movie's supposed to be based in. And there's an arcade game, and the two kids are playing the game. He's like, hey, all right. Because it was a game that he was really good at, where it's like a shooter. It has a gun control, and you would shoot. He was really good at that game. And
that coordination.
Exactly. And so he was like, here, I'll show you. And then they're like, they weren't impressed at all. He goes, you have to use your hands? That's a baby's game. That's what the kid said. So you guys are right. It's like, in the future, it's going to be like, I don't want to do that when there's this other cool method that, like, I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, again, innovation, being resourceful, just different areas, not the areas where we had to use it before. Because I'm sure there's kids now that can, you know, do something crazy that I never would have been able to think of as a kid. You know, it's just a different way of looking at it.
It's a different way of looking at it. They have different tools than we had. And so they're creative. They do things, you know. They can sit down and, like, their brains can process playing a game at, like, frame rates beyond what we ever played a game. Now, we might play those games now when we know them.
I'm pretty good. Okay? I'm pretty good. I know.
Hey. I'm talking about myself here.
You're from a different generation.
I'm talking about myself here. You know, I'm like original Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then there's, like, what? Like, these shooter games now where you have to literally be moving, like, instantly the whole time. I can sit and watch my son, for instance.
Shout out to Fortnite.
Yes. And that's like his game. He sits on that thing and he's on his mic and he's talking to people and they're navigating. You know, and I was in the Army for 10 years. This is strategy, yeah. Right? I don't know how long I had to spend there to learn all the strategy that I learned, and my son is sitting in a bedroom navigating through jungles and all kinds of stuff, when to jump, when not to jump, timing the jump, all of these different things that someone spends years training you in the military to do.
Paratrooper certified.
Exactly. You know, and it's like, jumps and everything. You know, if I sat down and tried to get on a level with him and say, well, do you really understand what you're actually doing? If I was to put you in a real life situation where you had to do all these things, mm-hmm. he could probably get it way faster than someone that just never went through and experienced that and played through, because the games are simulated so real these days.
Just call up your major or your sergeant. Yo, yeah. That son's ready, bro.
I'm telling you,
he's 12 years old, but he's ready.
He's ready, you know?
I'm thinking about that, though, actually, because a lot of kids are playing these games that are simulators.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the fearlessness to do it in real life? So because they're jumping out of buses and in the sky and planes and all that, like, would they do that in real life, though? Like, somebody said, hey, let's go jump out of a plane, and it's going to be very similar. Would they be able to do it? Like, a lot of kids, I think they would.
I would say they would.
Yeah.
I would go with they would, because I will tell you, as a kid, I rode my bike off of mountains. I was into freestyle bike riding. I would ride my bike in New York, Far Rockaway, Queens. We had this salt mountain where they used to dig salt up to wintertime. Mm-hmm. When it wasn't wintertime, this thing was just open. We would, like, sneak in through the gates with our bikes, and it was a mountain. Trucks would, like, drive up it. And at the bottom, it was really soft from where they used to dig. And we would jump, spin, do tricks, and then, like, flick the bike away and land in the salt. And we would do the craziest things. I would come home with a scar every day. I remember my mom coming home one day, and she had to take me to go get crutches because I had broke my foot.
Holy shit.
We used to be crazy. So that was us playing with what we had then.
For all the listeners, Anton has all his limbs.
I still do,
and
yes.
And some extra ones.
Oh, man. But, yeah, it was crazy as a kid growing up. But we did all those crazy things. And I know my son, like, he uses skateboards. I could see him easily doing all of those things. You know, you go from there and make sure everything is good.
That is reminding me, too, of, as far as simulation, Gran Turismo, they did that. They had where people that were really good at the game would compete, and then the people that were winning these competitions, they actually put them in real race cars, and they would compete in race cars to show that it was a real driving simulator, like they were claiming it to be. And these guys got really good, and one of the guys that won actually became like a real race car driver.
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, the idea is that the simulation is so real now that you can transfer those skills to the real thing. So,
well, absolutely. I mean, it's playing on your reaction and your reflexes, mm-hmm. you know, and if you can do something that can be simulated that fast, especially when in real life most things don't happen that fast, mm-hmm. on a racetrack they do. They go incredibly fast,
yes.
right? So they try to simulate those things. If you can react to a car coming up, mm-hmm. and you're coming up on a car really fast, and you can always consistently, yeah, you're going to get those reflexes triggered, you know, built into you, and that's mm-hmm. that's essentially what happens.
Yeah.
That's why nowadays, you know, parents are like, oh, you know, video games are like ruining my kid, this, that, and third. There's only so much of that could ever be true. Mm-hmm. There's so much that the kid's getting out of it as well. It's just whether or not we can get them towards implementing it to somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't just sit on the game all day, all night. Granted that you can compete nowadays. They've turned it into a sport.
It's a sport, yep.
You know? But overall, I think what they learn, if they can take that and put that into use in different things, you know, they're gonna build the future, but it's gonna be up to us to guide them along the way and get them the proper tools. So right now they're sitting playing the game, but can we get them in front of something to help them make the game? And where can they now take it to that next level? We're already starting to mess around with some AR. I mean, when can we take away that iPad that you can only see it with the screen, and we can have, you know, goggles or glasses where you can see it all around you in real life and have sensory, you know, kind of technology built into it along with reaction. Mm-hmm. So if I walk up on a simulated figure and I reach out and touch it, there's sensory there so that it could react mm-hmm. to me touching it. you know, who's going to teach them how to do that? Yeah. I mean, that's what they're going to get to next. And if they're playing with the devices they have now versus my Matchboxes, I feel like that's where they're going to get to. They're going to want that extra step. Now, granted, that might not go into the military and be real and jump out of a real plane, but they might want to play a game that can simulate that almost to realism.
And you know, you said it perfectly earlier. Like, they may not be creating for today, but they're definitely going to be creating for tomorrow. Like, it's you know, and that's the part of what we're all involved in as well. I take a look at Fortnite. I played as well, and Fortnite just recently added a game mode called the Creative Builder game mode, where Fortnite is a game, for those of you who don't know, it's a worldwide phenomenon. You literally...
I think everyone knows. It's crossed that line.
It's a game where it's a free game. Everyone hops out of this bus from the sky. And then what you do is there's 100 people in a lobby. The goal is just to kill everybody and be the sole survivor. But in this game, you can build a cover for yourself. And you can build a fort. So you house for wood, steel, and brick. Now, what I'm trying to get to is there's a map already that's there. You hop out of this bus, jump somewhere, you start forging for weapons, yada yada yada. But this new creative builder mode allows users and gamers to create and build their own section of the map. So you really go in and start putting in, like, where do you want ammo boxes to be? Where do you want wood crates to be? Where do you want a door to be? What kind of buildings do you want this to look like? You really get creative in this builder mode. And Fortnite's doing a great thing, Epic Games. What they're doing is every week they're highlighting a new person's creation in a certain corner of the map. So it's absolutely phenomenal. And they call that area the block, and that's the area where neighborhood people get to showcase their talents.
So that's pretty awesome.
Future architects, future builders, who knows what these people might go on to become.
Absolutely.
All the simulation talk. And the only thing I'm good at simulating from the games I was playing was growing a mustache and being overweight.
Man, Anton, I know you're a very creative individual. I know I've seen your artwork before. I know you're very artistic. Is the Matchbox story kind of how you got inspired in doing some amazing work with drawing concept cars and things like that? I've always had a passion for cars.
It's, you know, it's something kind of like Star Wars or any really far out movie, right? That in the next 10 years, we won't expect to see any of that tech. Yeah. As a kid growing up, I was, you know, mesmerized by these things on wheels with engines that made them move. And from the Matchbox car to my very first Lamborghini Countach toy car that I ever owned, and I was like,
"Whoa! You have a Lamborghini, and we're driving in my Kia right now. What the hell is going on?"
We wouldn't all fit in that one, though.
We wouldn't fit in it, you know.
Well, if you'd have a simulated beard and stomach,
we. Yeah, but that was like, you know, I was like, what, maybe 9, and I was making these things that I'm telling you about at like 8, 6, 5, 6, 7. And at some point I did end up getting like a real produced toy car.
Yeah.
But yeah, they all inspired me. So I only had two. I remember both toy cars I had from a child. One was a Lamborghini Countach and one was a Hess gas truck.
Damn.
It was green and it was cool and I liked them both. They were both my favorites. I definitely remember taking the Lamborghini Countach apart, I won't lie. I took it completely apart and couldn't put it back together.
So you're that one kid who your parents give you a gift and you take it all apart. Like, damn it, kid, such an amazing toy.
Yeah, but they have no idea how that inspired me, right? And where it took me to where I pursued a degree in automotive design to design cars.
Hell yeah.
Like, taking that car apart was worth every single bit of what I did, you know?
I totally agree, bro.
But, yeah, I mean, it's been really awesome, man. I've truly enjoyed creating and learning the different things that I have to get to where I'm at today. And, you know, I hope to one day, you know, more inspire others, you know, and coach them and, you know, hopefully lead them and inspire them to do similar to what I did, you know, experiment with things, try different things and, you know, in a safe environment, you know, do things that will, you know, progress you to something new. And it doesn't have to always be monetary. I'm never a person that's looking for wealth or anything like that. It means nothing to me. I can't take it with me. I would like to leave something behind. I would like to
leave a footprint.
Yeah, I want to leave a footprint behind. I want to be known for something great. I want to, like, you know, I don't know, look down from the heavens 100 years from now, and when people come from other countries or other planets, I should say, you know, they find something that I created and be like, wow, this is cool. It's primitive, but it's cool. You know?
I'll look above me in hell. Yeah. I'll be in hell like, damn, what's happening up there? It's a party.
With their swim trunks on. Because it's so hot.
Right.
Anton, you're going to be the one who designed the flying car, bro. I'm saying it. It's going to be
I'm going to try.
It's going to be Anton,
but,
bro.
You know, let others say it. We might be going under and not above.
Yeah.
So
that was a conversation we had this morning.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. So like Elon Musk, his whole thing is like going underground. He's saying the future is underground.
So like, you know, living in the Bay Area, like where it's so earthquake prone. Like aren't you guys think, like, didn't he think about that? Like, he doesn't think that earthquakes will ruin that and all that shit. Like,
well, I mean, even like the BART that runs under the ocean,
yeah,
like the tunnel and the way everything's set up. It's, I mean, unless it's like a super crazy earthquake, it should be okay. Like, it won't flood or anything.
Yeah.
Well, you guys know about the big one, right? The big one that's supposed to hit?
So is it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but...
The big one, that's like always been the talk ever since I can remember living here.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been here since I was born. I survived the 89 quake. Wow. That was a big one. That was like, I think it was
7.8
or something like that.
Bay Bridge, or was it Golden Gate, right? Broke?
Bay Bridge. So the Bay Bridge, and then there was actually used to be like a crosstown bridge that ran like across the water.
I thought you said it ran across the town. Crosstown bridge.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it kind of crossed it a little bit. But yeah, it was now where the Port of San Francisco is at. All that area used to have like another bridge that ran through there. And when the earthquake hit, that all crumbled and fell apart. So they had to take it out, and they rebuilt that entire area, which is why it looks so new over there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was a kid, and it was 89, and it was like October, so it had to be like the World Series. It wasn't the World Series, but it was Battle of the Bay, so the A's and the Giants were playing each other, and they were playing at AT&T? Giant Stadium.
AT&T Park?
It wasn't AT&T at the time.
Was it the same area? Is AT&T in New York?
No, different stadium. Okay. AT&T Park wasn't there. Different stadium. And I remember I was at, so speaking of like after school stuff, I was in a program called Catechism of CCD. It's a Catholic church. You'd go after school, my mom would pick us up and take us to church and do classes so you can get your communion and do all that stuff. And
shout out to Jesus.
Yeah, so like, I didn't want to be there at all. I couldn't stand going. I hated it. My teachers were all cool though. Like the kids that went to that school, they're from a different part of town than I was from. So like they're like the rich kids, because we went to the church that was in that area.
That's preppy and shit.
Yeah, they didn't want nothing to do with me. So I hated it even more being there. But we were in class watching a video about going to heaven and like how, you know, it's like heaven's like whatever, you know, all that stuff about heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like basically saying that, you know, like once you die, you go to this great place after death, and like, you know, it's eternity and like eternal life, and you get to, you know, everything's amazing.
Louisa's inner demon was coming out.
Yeah.
Like, fuck all y'all, I'm
going to hell. Well, no, but like, so at the time, like I was like probably, I don't know, 10 years old, 11?
Yeah.
Probably a little younger. So like at the time, I was just kind of like, yeah, I don't know really how I feel about all this stuff, but you know, whatever, it's, I'm a kid.
Yeah.
We're in class, lights are off, we're watching a video. Earthquake hits, the room starts like wiggling, waving.
Smoke.
Everything's waving, the TV's like flickering and stuff. Power goes out, all the lights go out. The lights are dark already, but the hallway lights go out because we're watching a movie.
Yeah.
The room's wiggling and waving, and I'm sitting at my desk. It's like a classroom, and the teacher is sitting behind me. Now, she's the one teaching us that heaven's great, and if you die, you know, you're going to be, you know, go to heaven and everything's going to be great and perfect, live forever.
She's like, kids, be ready to die.
So, no, opposite. She's behind me. She grabs me behind from behind and starts screaming in my ear, "I don't want to die! I don't want to die! I don't want to die! I don't want to die!" Oh, so I can't move. Everybody else is running out of the classroom. They're telling everybody to evacuate the building, and she's grabbing me. I'm stuck there with her. I don't want to die.
Louise is like, "I'm gonna die because of you, bitch. Yeah. Let me go."
Yeah. And it's all just like, man, I got some serious questions here. Like, if she's freaking out, and she was just telling us about how heaven's amazing, but she doesn't want to go.
Right.
Like, wait, what?
She should have been. I can imagine the message you were getting at that point, man. Oh my gosh.
And so for me, like, that was only like a small straw, but the effect of that, like, that earthquake lasted for a while. And so my dad, when the earthquake happened, my mom and dad were at home. My dad immediately came to go get us. And then when he took us home, you can still see the, like, everything was, all the light poles were still waving. Now, I lived about from San Francisco, like, in that area where the earthquake kind of originated from.
Yeah.
I lived probably less, you know, about 100 miles, less than 100, maybe like 70 miles away.
Okay.
From San Francisco. And it was still that severe.
That's Tracy right here? Or Stockton?
Stockton, yeah.
Wait, so
it's about 50 miles.
We about live roughly, it's about 70. Yeah, it's about 56 miles.
Yeah.
If the big one were to hit, would we feel it in Tracy?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, no, so that's the whole theory with the big one. The idea of the big one is that it would actually be so strong and so severe because there's tectonic plates on the planet, that it would be so severe that it would shift to a point where California would essentially crack apart and then go into the ocean.
Good. Yeah. On a little island.
Well, if we're lucky. If we're lucky, yeah. It's like, the idea is that it essentially it would just get wiped out. Yeah, and so, like, we're in the area that would be the most severe.
The San Andreas Fault.
San Andreas Fault.
And here I was thinking, I'm living in Tracy, I'm in the clear. Like, no. Ain't nothing gonna touch me.
Yeah, no, if there's earthquakes in the bay, like, we feel them. Like, even if they're small ones, you can still feel them out here.
They're gonna be, like, catastrophic? Like, if the big one hits, like, our houses, it should probably crumble and all that?
So, the big one is, like, the big one.
The 9.10
plus
something.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, yeah. So, and it would destroy. Now, I was reading about earthquakes, and they were saying, like, there's certain earthquakes, because tsunamis are from earthquakes.
Correct.
In
underwater,
the ocean.
Underwater,
exactly right, and it pushes those giant waves out. What will happen is if that earthquake hits, there's multiple faults.
Yeah.
The fault lines that
there's
are going to...
There's a Hayward one, right?
Yeah, the San Andreas. There's a couple of them that'll all get triggered, and that's what's going to cause it.
To be like way
it's
higher.
It's gonna basically snap across based on that. It's gonna use that like a perforation point, like a cut point. It's gonna go into the ocean.
But the listeners are not freak out. I did hear one piece of good news though. With all these mini earthquakes,
you're gonna die real quick.
Yeah, you're gonna die right now. just die with grace. Or you're going to heaven. No, but like what I've been hearing or reading about is that California's been having a lot of small earthquakes lately. Uh-huh. And the small earthquakes actually relieve pressure off the place.
Absolutely.
So, every time I hear about small earthquakes or there's one that's a little close, it's a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, man.
On the flip side of that, though, if there's a lot of small ones, that also means that there's a lot of activity, which means there's also a bigger one coming.
Yeah, it's possible. But, I mean, if it's bringing the pressure down, that's a good sign, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be a lesser of a hit.
Yeah.
How the fuck did we start talking about earthquakes, bro?
You brought it up, man. You brought up something.
We were talking about the Tesla thing on the ground.
Yeah.
We went up on a really big tangent there.
I know.
Yeah, I'll talk about earthquakes all
but
day.
But you guys have to watch the video where they talk to him about it, and we probably have to, like, do a little bit more research.
Yeah.
But based on what he said, it would be much safer on the ground than it would be above ground based on past events.
Yeah.
Where earthquakes hit and people were in tunnels and things like that, or train tunnels.
Yeah.
And they all actually survived when multiple people above ground actually died. So.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just die above ground because of, like, all the shit falling everywhere.
You die from not really the earthquake itself. You know, on the ground, I'm imagining things probably fall as well.
Yeah.
But I can imagine if I'm in a train, just to the whatever would come down, you know, those things are supported really well for a purpose. So it usually withstands things like that. But there's something about the wave of an earthquake that really trickles like above ground versus over ground.
Yeah.
I was going to say that he purchased a whole bunch of land, right, somewhere down south to test this whole thing out. Like, he's building these, like, I think, like, 1 mile runs or 10 mile runs, right? Yeah. Yeah, I remember reading about all that, so.
Yeah. I watched a video where he took one of the TV broadcasters on a little run through.
Hyperloop.
One of the one, yeah, Hyperloop. Yeah, I love that name, by the way. Hyperloop.
I'm gonna name my son Hyperloop.
Hyperloop, I'm gonna tell you, boy.
Get your ass here, Hyperloop. Now, his name's gonna be Hyperloop.
Because he's in California?
Oh, man. Hyperloop.
Yeah, but it makes sense though, like, to invest doing that versus trying to get some flying cars, where it just opens up so much more potential for risk and hazard. Mm-hmm. Have people flying around in cars, they're already pretty bad drivers.
Yeah.
Well, you think about think about who can also afford those cars, you know? So
right.
You might only have the rich probably buying those.
They're the worst drivers.
Well, but here's the thing, they're probably not gonna be the ones driving. It's gonna be those chauffeurs. Yeah.
No one's gonna be driving. That's what you're getting. Yeah, it's all autonomous. Yeah. If we can make a car autonomous on the ground, no different than a plane, those things can autopilot.
Yeah.
Trust and believe, the tech, time we get to up in the air, will be more than safe enough for a car to take you from point A to point B safely without interacting with another one.
Planes kind of do it, right? The pilots sometimes put it on the planes in altitude and
they can absolutely.
Free, right?
They can absolutely.
Yeah. I saw a video on YouTube. It was a Tesla. And there was an accident that happened right in front of the car, and the Tesla put the auto brakes on and saved it from getting the accident.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that exists in today's car. There's several cars that have that can sense people even walking across the street and put the brakes on if you don't see it.
Yep.
With all those sensors they're putting on the outside and all those cameras and things.
There's a Nissan Rogue commercial, right, where an accident happens, and they're all, like, in the hospital, and then the whole thing rewinds, and then it shows them in a Nissan Rogue. And before they get into the accident, it breaks. It's nice. The brakes come on, so.
Yep. Could have been a lot worse. Yeah, I guess that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, man, so, like, talking about, like, future stuff like that, future predictions. Back in the day when I was a kid, I used to go and look at these magazines at the library. And it would be, damn, that was bright.
I know.
That's something bright you're not supposed to do in the fall.
No, not at all.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Well, magazines, eh?
Yeah. So, these magazines are, like, from back in the day, and it would say the future predictions for the year. So, if that magazine was from, like, 1890, it'd be predictions for the year, 1990.
Right.
Like, 100 years, you know? So they would say, in the future, we would communicate by doing this or that, blah, blah, blah. And, like, it was really cool because they would be so far out there, like, as what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Or it would be, like, really hindered by the tech, because they didn't understand technology that we have now.
Yeah.
They had no way to connect the dots. So it would be like, well, the telegraph will be able to do this. And that is, like, instead of, like, video call or voice call.
Yeah.
But some people were pretty good at that. Was it, like, Jules Verne? Like, he was really good at predicting the future, like space travel, etc.
Mm.
But, dude, oh, man, I used to love that future stuff. We could look at, it's 2019. So,
let's just, for rounding purposes, 2020.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
let's
say 2020.
2120?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
What's your prediction for...
Yeah, if this podcast is still out there, 2120. So, I don't know. You guys think flying cars, underground? Do we have an underground system? You think? Here's my prediction.
Okay,
I don't think we're going to be on Earth.
Okay.
I think we're going to be on Mars.
Yeah.
Or probably another planet. We're going to discover life on another planet, and we're going to rebuild. We're just going to rebuild. It's going to be population control. There's going to be life on another planet. I have a feeling, and thankfully I won't be alive for this, but I have a feeling the poor are going to get left here. Die, like, it's gonna be rough, but I think it's gonna be the government's way of doing population control because the resources have been sucked dry here on Earth. So they're gonna be like, whoever can afford it, let's go to Mars. If you can't, well, sorry, peace. And I think it's gonna be every man for themselves. People are gonna be killing each other out here on Earth, fighting for gas, for oil, for food, and then that's just gonna be the end of civilization, I think, on Earth, because we're gonna be on a new country or a new planet, sorry.
Yeah. I should have put like a preface, a positive prediction.
your whole
that kind of went dark real quick. Yeah.
Your whole breakdown just took me right back to one of these TV shows that I watch.
Yeah.
Is it Numbers? No. They're basically in space, but they've went there to space and somehow they've been living there for years, but they do something and it's no longer safe.
Yeah.
And they're trying to come back to Earth and they send a bunch of kids down to investigate to see if the Earth's inhabitable still.
Well, dude, there's a movie, right? The Tom Cruise one? Was it Jack Reacher or something? No.
Oh, no, there's that Will Smith movie where him and his son come back to Earth.
iRobot?
No.
Oh, yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
You're not talking about The Pursuit of Happiness?
No.
Yeah, it's Will Smith and his son. They come back to the planet Earth after, like, centuries of it not being inhabited. Most of it look like, I didn't see the movie, but I'm assuming, like, you know, nuclear war or something.
It was very much destroyed. I got to
like,
see it.
The creatures and everything on the planet are just, like, way different. And so, like, they need to see if it's uninhabitable again.
Yeah.
And so they come there, and it's, like, super dangerous. Mm-hmm. And nobody, humans have been there forever. But it's also the plot of WALL-E.
Really?
Have you seen WALL-E? Pixar, the little robot?
No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So he's like a little garbage robot. He collects and makes these little boxes of garbage and cleans up the planet, basically. And he's been there for like probably, you know, 50 years or probably more, if not more. I don't know exactly how long it is. But there's no humans on Earth. They're in these shuttles, and they're basically just waiting for the planet to be clean again to come back.
Right.
And it's like a big
corporation.
Yeah,
these little robots that the corporations put together and sent down is doing the cleanup.
Yep.
They're like self-sustaining, and they just...
Yeah, there's no
pick
like,
up all the bad stuff, junk, and they're taking it to the junkyards and compiling
everybody,
it.
Newsflash, everybody. If you can all be at least 1% of what WALL-E is and recycle and compost and throw away your trash, the Earth will be a better place.
Yeah. It would be.
Wow. Deep end. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would go to the other string for my prediction. I don't think we'd be gone. I think we'd be in a whole different place. Like, realization would be there. It'd be like people say, oh, you know, it's this and pollution.
I don't think
too many people put a lot of faith into it per se.
Yeah.
But it would be our reality at that point. We would have to make like drastic changes. But I think as a society, I think we might be able to pull together. And granted, like any other civilization, there's probably going to be a big fight over who gets to do what. Maybe there's going to be parts of civilization or like locations where things can thrive and there's going to be others where it can't, and people are going to want to come to those locations and take it over and live there and all of these different things. And that's going to be the fight, right? There's going to be this fight. And I mean, some people may venture off to other planets. I'm not ruling that part out,
correct.
But I don't think this one will be completely doomed.
In 100 years from now?
Yeah, in 100 years from now, I think we'll still be very much alive. There might be less of us. And, you know, depending on if population continues to get bigger and bigger or if it starts to kind of just even out, only time will tell. But I think we'll still be here. I believe underground is going to become a reality. I've seen Elon Musk take his dreams to heights, and I think he's not going to stop. He's going to keep going. Whether or not he takes that to the sky as well as on the ground, I don't know. If that'll be someone else like me, we'll see. But
his motto is get high as the sky to build underground.
Right?
Oh, man.
But that would be my prediction. We will still be here. There's going to be parts of the world that are going to be highly inhabitable, and some is going to be great. You know, I could picture places that don't have big factories, that are pretty much farmland. They don't have technology and all of these different things. Their air quality is probably superb. I'm sure you guys have been to the islands in different places where they don't have, like, big corporations and factories blowing smoke into the air, just polluting the place.
I think the
water, everything is just so pristine. It's incredible.
I think what you're describing is going to be Switzerland.
Mm.
I think that's going to be the spot. Block everything off.
Yeah, well, and I think that's what you're going to end up. You're going to have segregated sections of the country that are highly, you know, good to go, and people are going to want to go there, and they're not going to be able to go. And you're going to have this fight between, you know, who can afford or who they let in, and all of these different things.
Exactly.
Society is going to, you know, pull apart in different ways like that. But like I said, some people are going to come together, but As always, everyone's not going to be included.
Aliens, if you're listening to this, come help us out, man. Throw us a bone.
I know, right?
Brian's going to sacrifice my body to you.
Honestly, if an alien came down today and said, you know, we'll take you for experimentation and shit up there.
And we'll give you this machine that can make your planet perfect again.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I'd be gone. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Brian's like, experiment on me.
Trying to freak me, aliens? Drop
the soap.
Hey, we don't. Oh, you motherfucker. No, man, don't know what the aliens look like, bro. They're out of shit, bro. I mean, we don't know.
You never know. I've seen them portrayed all kinds of ways. Yeah. Some of them's been hot.
Yeah, I mean, like,
Futurama, bro.
There's that theory. What's it called? This panspermia theory? If that's what it's called.
Pangea?
No, panspermia. So panspermia, what the idea is, that we're not from this planet originally, that another, you know, alien race on another planet
brought us here.
What they did is they got their DNA and they sent it out to different places. And so once it got onto Earth, it mixed in with, you know,
like monkeys and shit.
I think even before that, I think it mixed in at a time when the Earth was still evolving. And so, like, it's like the little, like,
microorganisms.
Yeah, like all that stuff. And, like, so the DNA got mixed in there, and we evolved into what we are now. There's the other theory that, and this is, like, I forget what it's called now. The Anunnaki. The Anunnaki were an alien race that basically they created us with primates. They got their DNA and they mixed it with the primates and they made a slave like being that was designed, that was smart enough and intelligent enough to take orders and to do things, but not smart as them. So they created the Anunnaki, which became us, to do that. All the work and build all the stuff. So, like, that's where the theory goes a little off the rails a little bit, where, like, the pyramids and, like, all the stuff back in the day was created and done by them, the aliens. That's, like, a really old school theory.
It was Megatron.
Megatron.
It was Optimus.
Yeah. My prediction for the future kind of goes a little bit different from everybody else. So...
fucking those flowers and happiness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man. Why not? Come on, man.
Just weed. Exactly. Flowers.
Everybody's just happy.
Hippies.
Yeah.
No one even wears clothes anymore.
Yeah. Everybody's first name starts with Uncle.
Yeah. Uncle Lou.
So right now technology has become this disruptor almost. It's like a distraction. So it becomes this thing where people are on their phone all the time. We've also got AR, like we talked about, AR, virtual reality. What happens is you start to get experiences that are happening on the phone that basically have people say, well, I don't need to go there anymore. Yeah. I can just experience it here. Or play a game. Like, right now, games are becoming more and more interactive, like we talked about.
Well, same thing with basketball. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Warriors just rolled out the Golden State Warriors rolled out VR basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a ticket to a VR game.
Yeah.
You throw on the goggles and you're courtside at a Warriors game.
The Lakers do that too.
It's like, what?
Yeah. I saw a commercial for that. Like, you put on your Oculus Rift.
Yeah,
and then you're
Oculus
there,
Rift. There
you're
go.
There
yeah,
at the game.
One.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So my prediction for the next 100 years, it's kind of been something that, you know, has been shown in movies and whatnot, but, like, you know, similar to The Matrix, what happens is you don't need to travel anywhere. It's not going to be an issue of fighting over a land and whatnot. What's going to happen is you're just going to be in these little virtual reality machines, and you're not going to actually use your body at all. You're just going to have your brain connected like a vegetable, basically, and you're going to live in a virtual world because the world is going to be, you know, messed up from smog. It's going to be messed up from pollution. And what's going to happen is we just want to escape that, and we're going to basically mix and fuse with technology.
Where you literally just like you'll put a body in some type of cell to keep, I guess, just your mind going,
yeah,
right?
Because exactly.
You just need an oxygen flow going to your brain.
Probably
everything
some
else,
intravenous,
who
like
cares
vitamins
about?
Or whatever. Yeah, just get going. But yeah, you'll be living in this fake world, but it'll be so real, it'll be like a real world.
But, okay, so here's where my little bits of skepticism comes in. Like, first of all, like, it's probably not going to be everyone, right? only the rich and those type of people will be able to afford that type of stuff. Because you got to house these people somewhere as well, right? Mm-hmm. And there has to be controllers on the planet to be able to handle all that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, Louise, if you're a billionaire and I'm just like a fucking peasant or some shit, and you're like, oh, you know, I bought this $500,000 virtual life machine. Mm-hmm. Throw me in here. I want to go join my wife and kids. I'd be the person like working on Earth to get you set up and all done with that. Like, do you think that there has to be, someone has to be running this shit, right? I mean, what do you think?
Oh, it'd be artificial intelligence. Oh. Yeah, running that. So like, think about it. Like when you're in Fortnite and you have $500,000, what does your character look like? You've got the tricked out backpack. Yeah. You've got everything. Yeah. You can still play. It's free. That's you can true. Still be in there. You're just not going to be able to do as much as the other people. So it's
going to... The government just rolls out, here's everyone's virtual life kit.
Yeah.
If you want add-ons, like a Gucci bag and a Louis belt and all this.
Yeah.
Feel free to add more... Earn credits.
So it depends on, like, what you're doing. If it's the government, it'd be something like, you know, it's subsidized, but based on whatever you do inside the world, or maybe you give up some of your DNA. I don't know what it would be, but there'd be like no cost to it. But
yeah, without diving too much into it. Like, yeah. I totally love the principle.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, you would be, I mean, here's the thing, like, you would have to have like a solid like country started, or like a city, because like it would suck to be there alone. Could you go on and off or once you're in your...
That's my theory, though. My prediction is that people don't want to, because they love being in there so much. Because
like, being in there could be more.
Yeah.
You don't need to survive on probably food.
Yeah.
Imagine like a million people accepting this from the government. They don't have to feed them anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't have to keep them in like electricity for like a big house. They could be in a warehouse in racks
and
be, you know, hooked up intravenously. However... Mm-hmm. Be surviving on less, and the planet can kind of sustain more of its contents for so much longer. They could almost get into it for free. I'm not gonna say it's gonna be free, but you know, it would almost be like you know, the ability to, okay, you're gonna be helping out to do this, this is what you're gonna get. And in that life, you could pretty much be in this system as a movie star, or you know,
I think you could be someone that
you can do whatever you want, because it's, you know, it's digital.
Yeah,
it could be like the coolest rapper on the planet inside of there. You know,
Hell yeah,
it would
be dope. It's your own reality now. Like, so it would probably start out. It would start out in a way where you go in like an Oculus, and then when you're done, you take off the helmet and you're back, whatever. But what's going to happen is your mind becomes addicted to that, and it wants to stay in that.
Yep.
And it wants more and more of that, and you stay in there longer and longer. Technology gets better and better, and it gets to a point where it becomes a replacement.
It's a real life GTA.
Yeah, it's a real virtual life.
World.
Yeah.
You got a virtual girlfriend. Yeah, you got a virtual life.
You're immortal. Yeah. I love this kind of stuff. There's so many movies that talk about this. Like going back to the underground thing.
Avatar.
Yeah,
sure. Avatars kind of like it.
Yeah,
they jump in that little bodysuit thing.
Yeah,
and they're living in a virtual world.
Yeah, they're in the real world. They're in a virtual, like in a body that's allowing them to transfer their mind into that alien.
Correct.
So they're in the real world on that planet. Yeah, they do a mind meld in that movie, and so they're inside of this created avatar body.
Yeah.
And his mind is fused with the mind of this avatar body. And so he's actually inside of that body in real life.
Oh, yeah. But it's all happening on the same planet, though.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be more like The Matrix.
Yeah.
There was a movie that had Bruce Willis in it, and they had, there was, like, a fake body that would walk around in the real world, and they were in a machine, basically, and their mind was fused with it. And took in real life, like, I think he had an injury, he couldn't walk, but in that fake body, he looks perfect. He has hair, he looks perfect. And so he gets to walk around in the real world and have that body. So it's almost like they're simulating in real life using these little decoy bodies.
And like, if they make it expensive enough, like, you know, my biggest thing is population control. Like, how do you control population? How are the needs? Well, I guess you can have unlimited food, water, everything, right?
But yeah, because you don't need it. It's all virtual.
You don't need it.
Well, what happens
is life there could be kind of like free.
Yeah.
Like, you can go to a bar and just ask for water and then walk away. Mm-hmm.
Because it's virtual, right? It's virtual water.
Because I guess what happened is, like, because the real body is still there.
Yeah.
So you would have to basically, just like an IV drip, basically, just the nutrients that you need.
Right. Then yeah, you'd be surviving on so much less.
Well, I'm even thinking, like, beyond the body, like shave the whole, like, your whole actual body, your physical body is not needed no more.
Well,
they just might keep your brain, whatever, you know, obviously, like, you know, my bio majors, where you guys at, like, you need the brain, you need all the nerves and whatnot attached to it, but, like, literally keep just that part.
Mm-hmm.
Keep right. that the brain alive and all that fun stuff.
Well, that goes into another theory that's out there with aliens. So there's another theory that aliens aren't actually aliens. They're just us in the future. Because aliens, they always say they're what? They're small.
Yeah.
They're thin. They have big eyes. Very big little heads. Nose.
Yeah.
Big head, like, for their brain. And then little mouth.
Yeah.
And the theory is that in the future, we fuse with technology to a point where we don't need to eat a lot. We don't grow very big. Our eyes are big because we process, and our brain's really big because we've got all this stuff in there. So they're saying they're actually traveling from the future and making contact with us.
Right.
Yeah, that's just us. That's just us.
That's what us we look coming like. Back to warn us.
That's an evolution.
This is what we're going to be.
Yeah, that's
an evolution. If you don't change now.
Hey, fun fact, the government shut down right now. Area 51 is open, ladies and gentlemen. No, I'm kidding, I'm lying.
I was going to say, the Area 51... No, as far as we don't talk about Area 51. get out of the car right now.
No aliens there, y'all think so?
Oh, dude, like and so in 1947 when Roswell happened, and I guess it was like a sergeant or a major or something like that, he went to the news and he had a press briefing and he was like, we had contact when we have a crashed unidentified object. Yeah. And then the next day, immediately, he has another press conference, and he has this, like, foil from, like, a weather balloon.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it was a weather balloon. And it's like, so there was a big change there. I honestly, I think
something happened. Well, that was probably fixed. That weather balloon shit, like...
Oh, yeah, no, that was the cover story. It was the cover story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the cover story. But, yeah, I honestly, I think there something did happen there that they're not telling the truth about. If it was aliens or not, I don't know, but something happened that they don't want to talk about.
I think what would be dope is that there's that movie out where it's called, was it Little Big People? Oh, no, that's a TV show. Whoops. No, but it's that movie with Mark Wahlberg that just came out. I want to say last year. That movie where... Oh, it's called, like, Shrink Me or something.
You're talking about Matt Damon? Where he, like, he pays...
Matt Damon, sorry, Matt Damon. what did I say?
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, Matt Damon. Where everyone just shrinks.
Uh-huh.
Could you think about it? Like, if we all shrank...
Mm-hmm. The resources.
The resources would be abundant. Like, mm-hmm. It'd be insane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we're pulling up to our destination here at Mr. A. Smooth's house. We want to thank Anton for being on this car cast.
Yes.
We had a blast talking about
a, blast.
A whole bunch of different things. It's always a pleasure to have a conversation with you, Anton. Where can people find you on social media, my man?
I'm a little bit everywhere. I'm on Facebook, Instagram. Tag is... AOAJ007 on most.
Ooh.
Otherwise, just look me up by name and you guys should be able to find me.
There we go.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. All right. For participating.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
That's it for Beards and Brews episode 4. And remember, aliens are real. And they're listening to us. And Anton's going to design the next flying car.
Yes.